is the perfect music to introduce our next guest, Rick Hogan.
Well, usually on my show I play bongo players, but that, it's a little laid back.
Yeah.
Well, I listen to you Sunday nights.
Do you?
I love your show.
Really?
I just love your voice.
You seem surprised.
And I love what it says.
Are you sleeping on a my? You're lying on a my pillow.
I am.
That's fabulous.
With your face on it.
That's great. Can I?
That's the newest thing, ladies and gentlemen. Get your father a my pillow with my face on it.
Oh, they'll love it. Dads will love it.
Oh, all fathers would love that.
Can I also? I have a compliment I need to pay you. You wrote about Bill Zamy a couple of weeks ago, and what a great piece that was. So informative. And I know Bill, I know what a struggle he's had of late, but he really, of all the writers of our generation, he was able to get in and talk to Carson and Letterman and all the key players in late night TV, and you chronicled that beautifully.
Well, Bill was at the you know, burning hot center of the entertainment scene here for such a long time.
Yeah.
Then he got involved in this Johnny Carson book. He's the last guy Carson was not the friendliest guy in the world, but he agreed to let Bill interview him. And Bill has tons and tons of tapes and was working for 5 years on the ultimate Johnny Carson biography. Then he gets sick. He got a diagnosis. When you go to the doctor and he says, well, this doesn't look too good. And Bill says, well, what is it? He goes, well, it's stage 4 colorectal cancer.
Good God.
And to Bill's ever-loving credit, I don't think I could do it. Does he go and ask, well, what does that mean? No. Does he go to WebMD and look it up or Google it? No. I think that's one of the reasons he was able to withstand it all. I'd go to WebMD, take a look at it. I would go immediately down to Billy Goat and drink myself to death.
Yeah.
Right.
To death.
Yeah.
But he beat it. I had dinner with him last night at his
and
favorite
he's doing
place,
much
Twin
better.
Anchors. He's skinny, but he's doing much, much better.
Good.
He is clean now.
Yeah,
clean.
That's fantastic. Good. Well, you always do a good job.
I wanted
job.
To finish that Carson book, though. That's
yeah,
what I really
well, let's all hope. Let's all hope.
All right. Well, you have something going on. I've heard about this Printers Row Lit Fest. I know you do.
Maybe next year I'll interview Bill Zamy at Printers Row Lit Fest. Mm. This year, no Bill Zamy.
No. All right.
Whom or what will you be interviewing? What are you talking
about
this year?
Well, Lit Fest has become, over the last couple of decades, an extraordinarily popular event. And extraordinarily popular because you think to yourself, wait a minute, no one reads books anymore. Everybody reads e-books. It's crazy down there, which is what makes it so much fun. It's all free.
Mm-hmm.
You've got dozens of authors speaking, some very famous. I don't know if Ethan Hawke, the actor, qualifies as a famous writer, but he's going to draw.
Oh,
he's
sure.
Draw. And that's what people come down, they'll go listen to some goof interview, some goof like me interview some goof author, and then they'll wander around and buy books. I mean, it's an open marketplace. It reminds me of Paris is famous for that, these open marketplaces of books. And it's so good for me as a writer to just see people buying books. I don't care if they even looking at them, picking them up, and just digesting them and being there for this thing. You know,
I've never gone ebook. I have an iPad. I got one book on there, and I can't read it like that. I have to physically touch a book. I have to smell a book.
Same here.
To carry a book.
Same here.
That they opened an Anderson's bookstore right in our hometown, so it's walking distance.
See, that says something good if they're still opening bookstores.
Yeah,
that
I've
is
lived
good.
Through. There used to be, five bookstores within 2 blocks
right.
of this
oh,
place,
I know.
The great Croc and Brentano's.
They had a Croc and Brentano's in Croc and Brentano's for a while. Remember that? You could go in there. Rick, in our family room.
Now you can go in and get coffee at bookstores.
Right, it's changed that dramatically. In our family room, we have an entire wall, top to bottom, that is all bookshelves filled with books. And a friend of mine came over and said, do you realize we are the last generation that will have something like this in our house? Isn't that
no
sad?
No question. Roger Simon, who's a political columnist, you can still read him in the Sun-Times. He used to be here for years. He told a great story when he went from South Shore High School down to the University of Illinois. He moved into his dorm, and he put his books in there, and he was rooming with what he found out later was a football player. Not that football players are dumb, but he asked one of the great questions. He came into the room, introduced himself, said, Roger Ambruner, or whatever his name was, and Roger, it's great to meet you. And he looked at the bookcase that Roger had filled with books. And he gets this quizzical look on his face, and he's like, what, these are your books? Yeah. Have you read them all? Yeah. what do you still got them for?
Oh, no.
Which is a pretty interesting question. It begs. The reason people keep books is they have, they don't reread them. People don't go to bed.
Bill does.
I do.
I do too sometimes.
I can't.
There are very few. There are probably 10 books that I've reread over and over and over again. But I thought that was such an interesting question because in many cases, it's to show off.
They're trophies.
Yep.
They are kind
But in other ways, they're memories, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where were you? When did you read that? What did you think? I think it's a fascinating thing.
Yeah. Wendy and I were discussing this very topic a week or so ago, and there are certain books that I've read 5, 6, 7 times, and the reason is I'm a different person each time I read it, and I understand and appreciate.
Which was brilliant when you said that.
But it's true.
It is true.
It is true. It is true. That's like, talk to any kind of jazz singer, male or female. And they will tell you, okay, yeah, I'm still singing Body and Soul, but every year or so, because of the events that have affected me emotionally, I see more in the song or I bring more to the song. I think that is true.
Yeah.
That is one of the most profound things. I never look at you and go, that Bill Laff, boy, is he profound.
Boy, is he a deep thinker. Boy,
but honestly, that is so true. Oh. I read Catcher in the Rye in high school. I should revisit it now.
You would
see, Kill a Mockingbird.
It's the same story, but it's a different angle. I mean, it's obvious.
You see it differently.
Yeah, I did not think as much of Catcher in the Rye the last time I read it about 10 years ago as I did when I was 17.
That was it. That was the book.
Yeah. I actually need to read a book that would change my life. like How to Be a Millionaire or something.
Tell him the book you reread frequently. I want Rick Hogan's opinion on that.
I love The Great Gatsby. I love everything
that
about
is so
it.
So funny. Me too.
You're the same.
Me too.
I just think it's the most tragic story of any book I've ever read because it's a man who has everything and nothing at the exact same time.
It's kind of the story of your life.
It's the story of my life, right?
Except that Gatsby didn't have a radio show.
That's the only difference.
And he dressed much better.
Right. That is the only difference.
Right.
Well, plus the end, the last paragraph of that book is among the most stunning writing.
Yeah.
In the millions and billions of words that have been written. The other book I reread because of the ending, too, is A River Runs Through It by Norman MacLean. I mean, oh, my.
That's so good.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
He will not be at the
Prenatal Norman MacLean will not be attending, nor will any of the authors we've discussed so far.
Yes, I think Fitzgerald is going to read a play somewhere, and Salinger has lost
time. He's not coming.
He wouldn't have come if he was alive.
No.
But it is fun. I mean, you do get to, you know, sort of up close and personal, even the audience. I did a couple years ago, Eric Larson of Devil in the White City fame, who's really good at these kind of presentations. Many of the authors do this. Not as a living, but they like to go out and meet their readers. There's something very special about it. And that bond, and they're generally really real. I've never seen, you know, the famous, like, you know, the drunken Hemingway beating up somebody in the middle of Dearborn Street. You know what I mean? Most of the authors who do this are very, very, very nice people.
Shall we take a quick break and continue talking about this with Rick Hogan?
Rick Hogan's here. If you want to call in, please do, or text in at 312-981-7200. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, along with Rick Hogan on WGN.
Printers Roll Lit Fest.
We have classed things up by...
Just a little.
Yes, we're talking about... I was planning to read Genesis, but Wendy forgot her
in
Bible.
In the beginning.
Wendy forgot her Bible. The Printers Row Lit Fest website is printersrowlitfest.org. There's also this kind of cool... I don't do a lot of apps, but if I did apps, I would get this app. Printers Row App, app.com. Which gives you like updates about what's going. If you're going to Litfest,
you get the schedule all on the app.
You can get the schedule online now, but you'll get updates. I think you get free books, free e-books, $5 off some stuff, interactive ticket reservations. Which some of these things, the Eric Larson thing was a nightmare. I mean, there were like 300 people more than we could fit into the auditorium because people love Eric Larson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The guy I'm interviewing, I have not met him.
Rick Hogan in the studio, by the way, in case you didn't identify the voice.
Sebastian Younger, who wrote A Perfect Storm, and I'm going to show you this picture of him. When I have mentioned this to, they say, who are you interviewing at Litfest? I go, well, Tony Fitzpatrick is one of them. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like Tony. He's a good guy. That's a really bad imitation of a woman talking.
That was supposed to be a woman. It sounded like me.
I can't do a woman talking. Yeah. It sounds like someone who just got out of the billiard after 8 hours. Tony Fitzpatrick. I really like him. Maybe I'll come see that. Who else are you interviewing? I go, Sebastian Younger. The response would make any response to Ethan Hawke seem mild. They go, oh, my God, that guy is so hot.
Really?
I go, but that's not what you should say about authors. You should say he is so intelligent.
Right.
That's him. Yeah, I got to show to Wendy.
Let's see. Okay. Wendy, drool factor on a 1 to 10?
He's a writer. He goes, he's a very adventuresome writer who goes off into war zones to report on it. And he's, A Perfect Storm was his big book.
Yeah.
And it, but Tony Fitzpatrick's also interesting.
That's Tony's
coffee.
Tony is Wendy's former radio partner, you know.
Oh, of course.
Yes, yeah. And I think we're going to have him up. He's got a couple of books that are fantastic. He writes poetry. He's an artist. Guy is hot, by the way.
Thank you.
But Buzz Aldrin's hotter.
I expect to see you at your first Lit Fest, don't I? Sebastian, please welcome Wendy Snyder. This is her first Lit Fest.
And last.
And he's probably like put his arm around you. Go, well, Wendy, here's an autographed copy of my latest book called Tribes. Tony's got an amazing art show. An amazing art show at the DePaul Art Gallery, which is right at the foot of the Fullerton L stop in one of the nicest gallery spaces I've ever seen. Ever. This new DePaul Museum.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
He did some recent work after Prince passed away.
Yes.
And, of course, album covers for Steve Earle and Lou Reed. And
Tony's a total workaholic, too.
He really is.
When do I do him? I think he's in the afternoon on Sunday. They don't have Tony's picture here, Wendy. It's like your boyfriend, new boyfriend, Sebastian Younger.
What are you trying to fix me
also,
up? I'm married.
You'll notice in the Lit Fest thing that I think is in this weekend's paper, Ethan Hawke gets a relatively small picture. R.L. Stein
From Goosebumps.
Yeah, Goosebumps fame.
Oh, I love those books.
I think he wrote like 80 books for Goosebumps, didn't he?
Yeah,
he's very prolific.
He actually doesn't need to come here.
No.
He could just sit on it. He could just lie on his My Pillow with my face on it and relax for the rest of his life.
You mean my Sebastian
Pillow? But you will notice
pillow?
The two largest pictures available in this calendar that'll be in the paper this weekend are Sebastian Younger, who I think does not have the same name recognition as Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, right.
Buzz is an interesting interview. I'll say that much.
Well, he's been in space.
Yeah, he has been in space.
He still is.
That's the reason. Who knows what happens when you go up there?
We've talked to him sometimes where he's a fantastic guest.
And really nice.
Yeah.
And then other times
he's
kind
of
a little
nasty,
different.
But nasty, would you say? Or just
crabby.
Kind of curly?
Yeah, a little crabby.
You
know, at this thing, you also get to, you can have coffee with John Cass one morning.
Oh.
And a smoke?
And you can have coffee with
coffee
Eric Zorn and Mary Schmeek.
Oh, well, that's fun.
I don't know if the coffee is free, but you can make a whole day of it because the events are all day, and you just pray for nice weather. There was one year when I remember Karen Abbott of Sin in the Second City was there. I thought to myself, it rained so hard and blew over tents, and she was so soaking wet that I thought we needed to have a wet dress contest
for the authors.
Oh, yeah. She would have won, hands down. But it's just a really nice way to spend the day. I think that's the same weekend when they're having the, America's Cup to do.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Which I would not be able to understand for 5 seconds. I would just see
racing?
These boats go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're boats, right? I don't understand where they go or what they do. Yeah. America's Cup is beyond me. It's kind of like the
it's
way
hard
I feel.
To keep score, isn't it? It's
the way I feel about soccer. I said, why are these guys running so fast?
I don't get it.
Why are these guys running so fast?
When does this start?
It is the weekend after this. It's Saturday the 11th and 12th, and it's been, there are people who go every year, and they make a real,
oh yeah, it's
they make
a big
deal. Weekend of it.
Yeah.
They make a weekend of it, because you don't have to, I know you can, C-SPAN books, and one of the things about authors is they don't do a lot of radio anymore.
Yeah.
And they don't do, there are no, I can't think of any authors. Sometimes Carson would have a writer or an author on, but not often. So you're
used to have Calvin Trillin on all the
time. Yeah, because he was funny.
Yeah.
Sure, because Calvin's a very interesting, fun writer. But you don't get the exposure of these people. I suppose you could go on YouTube and find some boring hour-long interview, but writers are probably the only sort of artists short of short of people who make sculptures out of cotton candy or something, who don't, you don't know. You, right. you have no connection with them because you don't see them in the media.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I'm always fascinated by their process. Some writers will tell you that the best thing for them, for their mind, is to be in a blank room, a room that's just doesn't have anything in it so that they can create whatever they want.
Like a padded room?
Not a padded room.
Like a padded cell?
Just like a white room with no, just nothing that could possibly distract them so they're forced to create.
That would be distracting.
Wouldn't it kind of?
I think that would drive you nuts.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Stephen King, for instance, has a jammed, huge office filled with stuff, and he plays rock and roll at top volume. And Stephen King's as prolific as any writer I know and is good, too.
Yep.
He gets a bum rep. He gets a bum
rep. He does a nice job, doesn't he?
I think he's really good. You like him?
Yeah, I'm a
fan. I think he's great. I just read Mr. Mercedes. You know this? It's the first in a trilogy about some very weird guy who runs over a bunch of people and then gets kind of in touch with a retired detective who he's trying to kill. And I'm not going to spoil the end. It ends at a concert.
Oh.
It ends at a concert.
I like those twisted paths that Stephen King lays down.
It's interesting mind. One quick story. My first book was called Dr. Nightlife Chicago, a collection of nightclub columns I did for the Sun-Times. And I'm so excited. I'm like 25 and I'm invited to a book's author's event at Marshall Fields, the old Marshall Fields. And so I'm up there and I'm really excited. They take me to a table. Who are the people on my left and right? Stephen King and Jim Davis, the cartoonist of Garfield.
Sure.
There are lines for those two stretching into the housewares department.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there. I get one friend from high school. Oh. One friend from high school comes over and he goes, "Hey, it's great to see you. How much is your book?" I said, "What's like $7.95?" He goes, "Oh, man, I haven't got it." So, but the nicest thing, both of those guys felt so sorry for me that they each gave me a book.
Yeah.
Stephen King and Jim and autographed it.
Yep.
And bought one of my books.
Oh, that was
so
nice.
So somewhere in the rock and roll office of Stephen King
is
Dr. Nightlife. I would think. I would hope.
That is
Dr.
cool,
Nightlife
Rick.
They were so nice.
That's perfect.
That's what hooked me on these literary events. It hooked me forever.
That's so funny.
Well, this kicks off next weekend, is it?
Yes. Not this weekend, but next weekend, the 11th and 12th.
Printers Row Lit Fest, and I believe the website is?
PrintersRowLitFest.org. And
perfect.
Look up this app, too. Look up this printersrowapp.com.
Thank you, Rick. Always
my
good
pleasure.
To see you.
It's great to see you. I see you guys coming in and out of the
We
building.
Wave back and forth.
We're stalking
Bill was like
you.
When I came in, he goes, "Thanks for coming down today." I go, "Oh, the worst commute I've ever had." Well, it could be, depending on who's on the elevator.
Sure, of course. That's so true. Thank you, Rick. It's Rick
Thank
Hogan,
you,
everybody. A quick break, and then we'll find out what Roe and Anna have next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder at WGN.